With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast, another in the vast quantity of podcasts we're doing in the build-up to the League One playoff final on Saturday. But this one's been in the pipeline for about 3 years, so I'm finally delighted to get it in there, and it just seemed like a good time to do it given the current situation. So tonight, we've got a very special guest in the form of Scott Borthwick, the captain of Durham. Red ball and the one day 50 over version of the game, and we'll have a chat about T20 stuff as well, which will be coming up in a couple of weeks. So you okay, Scott?
Yes, very good, thanks for having me on.
Not a problem at all. So obviously the main reason you're on is because you're a big Sunderland fan, but what we'll do is, to get started, what we'll like to do with sort of new, more important guests like yourself, is have a few quick fire questions to get going.
Yeah.
So I've got six for you here. So off the top of your head, just give us an immediate gut response to these questions.
Okay.
Indian or Chinese?
Indian.
Night in or night out?
Night in these days, as I'm getting older.
Quinn or Phillips?
Pardon?
Quinn or Phillips?
Oh, Kevin Phillips. Just.
Beach or city break?
Beach.
McDonald's or Burger King?
McDonald's.
Broad or Anderson?
Anderson.
There we go. That was a horrible one at the end there.
Yeah, it's a tough one, that, isn't it?
But when we do this stuff on, like, with ex-players who've played in, like, the recent times, the Quinn and Phillips questions, the horrible one. So, you know, the Broad or Anderson one can be your horrible one.
The Quinn Phillips one's a tough one. Because that partnership, like, you think Phillips might not have got all his goals if it wasn't for Quinn. And then obviously Quinn, he's just a bit of a legend, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, is that, would you say that's your era as a Sunderland fan?
Absolutely. I think, like, that late 90s, early 2000s, with Quinn, Phillips, Kevin Ball, Nicky Summerby, Alan Johnson. Those types of players, like, almost like when we missed the chance, that playoff against Charlton, won it.
Yeah.
I think that was like 98,
99,
wasn't it? 98.
Yeah,
and I reckon, I would have been about eight then. And I reckon the next 5 years after that was actually pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We won the league the year after, and then had a couple of good years in the Premier League at Peter Reid era. I reckon that was when I first started following football and definitely becoming a Sunderland fan.
Did you used to go regularly in that time, or?
Yeah, I probably would have gone between 5 to 10 games a year, I think. But my dad played Saturday cricket, so it was always tough to get to games. And obviously I was playing cricket as well, and my dad played Saturday football as well, so it was always tough to find somebody to take me, but I definitely feel like that era, the Quinn Phillips, was a beautiful time on it as a Sunderland fan.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, it was like the best since the war, wasn't it? Really, I mean, it was. I mean, it's the best since
seventh,
and you know, to sort of experience that was amazing. I mean, my dad always used to say, like, you know, enjoy it while it lasts, because it'll, you know, it's never normally this good, you know.
When absolutely, I reckon as well, like people like my age, like in early 30s and stuff, 30-year-old, you almost took the Premier League for granted under Steve Bruce and Big Sam and that type of era. It's like, we're actually doing all right. We're finishing, what, 12th in the league under Steve Bruce, and we're actually doing all right. I think at the time, you do take it for granted, don't you? And then, yeah, fast forward 10 years or whatever it is, and here we are in the playoff again.
Yeah,
to go up to the championship.
And well, that's it. That's the worst. That's the worst thing about it. I mean, I don't know if you've obviously you were you just came back, didn't you? Sort of 2021. So
yeah,
I mean, have you managed to like sort of keep in touch with Sunderland a little bit more since you've been back in the northeast? Or is it just because obviously the games in the winter and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've definitely gone to more games in the last, I mean, obviously it's tough that COVID year, but last year and a bit of this year, I've probably gone to more games than I did the 4 years I was down in London. I went to a couple of away games, actually. I did the Wimbledon game. And so, yeah, but I think you never lose that passion for Sunderland, do you? I mean, even for the Northeast. I mean, when I lived in London, it was, you have a bit more pride in the Northeast, I mean, I think, and you almost, you shout a bit louder as a Sunderland fan yourself, because you want to be heard. And
yeah,
I think you become more of a fan, I think, when you're not actually living in the Northeast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll try and get as many games as I can. And like I say, I've definitely done more this year and last year than I have the previous 4 years. And that was just because of where I was living. And then I did a couple of winters overseas. I did a winter in New Zealand, and then I did a couple of years in Perth. So it's always tricky to get to games when you're overseas. But now, look, I'll try and get to as many games as I can. Unfortunately, I can't go to Wembley this week. We're down in London, actually, playing against Middlesex Lords. But I went to Wembley a couple of years ago when it was a Portsmouth game. We lost on penalties.
Yeah.
Like a trade. Bought Papa John's, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
But never went to the Charlton game when we lost. I think we were in Birmingham playing. Remember watching that on TV.
You know, so when you, obviously you said you were playing cricket regularly, you know, as a kid. And, you know, when did you start getting into those sort of age group sides? Obviously there was that, it was on Sky, I remember, a couple of, I think during the lockdown it might have been, they might have sort of shown it again, where there was a few of you and you were included, where you went out to, they kind of followed, I think it was Joe Root and you were on it, and there was a few other lads in there, kind of in a sort of in the age group sides, sort of got, I think you might have gone out of the subcontinent and you were part of like a spin bowling group sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it like sort of when you, when you're away? I know you were saying like you're trying to, you know, you shout a bit louder when you're away. Yeah. I mean, what's it like sort of following when you know, you're going all over the world? Obviously, you've played in the Ashes, you know, for England and things like that. I mean, you said you're in New Zealand, Australia. I mean, what is that like sort of following as a professional sportsman from abroad?
Yeah. Look, I'd always try, and I mean, I guess it was a bit easier when we're in the Premier League watching overseas, because a lot of the games were live. And I think that was the beauty of going overseas, especially Australia, because they were always, all the Premier League games were live. But yeah, look, I sometimes used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning and watch them when they were on TV. But yeah, like, I mean, one of the amazing things about being a cricketer is you do get to travel, and very lucky to do so from probably the age of 18. Just getting away in the winter and playing some cricket, having some amazing life experiences of travelling. I remember the first time I went to New Zealand as an 18-year-old, you feel like you come back a grown man. You do learn so much. And so that's one of the beauties of it. But yeah, look, I've always tried to follow lads whenever I've gone overseas, and or even if it's just a match report from my dad who's been to the game, he'll be texting me, telling me what's happening and who's been the standout, or just reading the reports all the time, like, you know, like on the website or the Twitter feed and things like that. But yeah, look, when you're overseas, it's definitely easier to watch when they're in the Premier League, I tell you.
Yeah.
All Fox Sports doesn't show many League One games.
I mean, I guess they've got the streaming service now, so you would have been all right.
Yeah, well, that's that I follow is amazing, isn't it? I think I started watching that during lockdown, actually, after lockdown when that started. And then, yeah, paying £8 or £10 to watch the games. It's money well spent, isn't it, on a Saturday afternoon. Well, sometimes anyway. So, yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of it.
I mean, you know, going back, you know, being on the field during big games, there, you mentioned, you know, you were sort of probably at Edgbaston playing during the Charlton game and stuff like that. Obviously, you're a professional, but you know, cricket has those periods in the game. I don't know if it's like 280 for two or something and not much is happening and it gets to 5-3 and the game's kicking off and...
Yeah, you do actually. You
must be thinking, I wonder how they're getting on.
Especially, yeah. You normally like get the 12th man on and like ask for a drink and it gets to 3:30, you ask for a drink or what's the selling score? Or you send like one of your fielders on the boundary. I mean, I can't go on the boundary now as captain, but like I'll send one of the young lads and go on the boundary and just get a bit of a... Trying to ask for the Sullivan score. Yeah. I remember actually, you remember that time when City won the league?
Yes.
Aguero scored. Well, didn't we play against?
We played Man United, yeah.
Yeah. And I actually remember fielding on the boundary. We played a one day game. I could hear all the gossip and I was like, how is Sullivan getting on? How are we getting on? And yeah, like, I remember that story because it was also such an iconic Premier League moment. But obviously, we were part of that, weren't we? Because we played against United. Didn't we lose 1-0 or something?
We lost 1-0, yeah.
Yeah, I remember listening, shouting over to the crowd, like, have we caused this upset in the Premier League? Yeah. City had just won. But yeah, like things like that, there's always a way of potentially finding out the score. And like I say, even if it is shouting for the 12th man to call you a drink and then telling you to find out the selling score.
Well, I guess if the thing is, you've got an issue there, it's going to be like the classified results, isn't it? If you've got a few lads in the team who follow a few different teams, you'd be coming out with a list of scores, won't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think what we'll do is we'll have a little break now. And then when we come back, we'll get into the sort of the cricket side a little bit more this season and sort of look ahead to the T20 campaign that's coming up and sort of make people aware of how they can get themselves tickets and get themselves along to the Riverside to see those games.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. We're here with the captain of Durham, Scott Borthwick. We've had a bit of footy chat, so now you know we'll have a bit of cricket chat, I think, as it's only appropriate. So you know, this season, obviously, you returned as captain last season after being in Surrey for a few years. You know, returning during lockdown as well. You know, how has that been as a cricketer during lockdown? Because, you know, as a professional sportsman playing in sort of empty venues and stuff like that, it must have been a really surreal experience in the bubbles and everything.
Yeah, look, I think obviously lockdown was a challenge for everybody. I think there was just a not knowing of what was next. I think that was the big challenge. And I remember we were obviously down at Surrey, and the club give us loads of equipment, like gym stuff. So we would, every day I was trying to do something in my garden, like sort of some physical activity, or go for a run, or just like every time I went for a walk with the missus and things, I just actually taken a tennis ball and just throwing off like walls and lampposts and things like that, just to try and keep my arm loose and engaged, or balling against the lamppost and stuff, things like that. But yeah, it was weird, like I said, I guess for everybody, but we were quite lucky. We went back to training, I think it was about 1st of July, which was probably ahead of the rest of the country of getting back. I mean, training in bubbles and only 2-3 men at a time, and you had to share balls, which is weird. So like you had your own ball, and that was your ball to ball with, field with. It was absolutely bonkers, wasn't it? And then we played 5 games, I think, in August and September, you know, a couple of T20s.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely crazy. But yeah, I left Surrey end of that year and joined back up here to Durham, and to get the captaincy was absolutely amazing. You know, it's something that was, if you'd asked me as a Durham Academy kid at 15, you got a captain Durham one day, I would have bit your hand off. So to get the opportunity to do that was amazing, and I've loved every minute of it. It's an absolute challenge at times, and on and off the field, I guess. But I guess that's just the being a leader and having more responsibilities is a challenge. But I absolutely love it, and I love working with our coaching staff, with James Franklin and Marcus North and the rest of the coaching guys. It's amazing, and I'm learning all the time. And we did all right last year.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, you were maybe frustrated not to get into Division One, really, because it's so close to actually getting out of the getting out of the group, really.
Yeah, exactly.
The Essex games probably were the ones, weren't they? Really?
Yeah, it was like we showed some really good things last year, and I think we probably surprised ourselves with how well we did play. And I think lads actually realised that we are actually a good side, and a Division One side, that's where we should be. And we just missed out on that. And then obviously getting to the one day final as well. And it was almost a bit of a nearly season. But we played some amazing cricket, and I think we were quite proud of what we did. And I think it was a real sense of realisation that, you know, we're getting to Division One, getting to a final, like, this is where we're at. This shouldn't be a surprise for us. Like, we should be able to be doing this. And then going into this season, we've had 6 games now. We've won 1, lost 1, and drawn 4. And the draws we've had, we've controlled the game.
Yeah.
We were a bit unlucky the first game down in Glamorgan.
Yeah, the weather.
We outplayed them for 2.5 days, and it rained for a day and a half. So, like, we probably would have won that game. Frustrated at times, but we know that we've played some really good cricket, and we've got a big game this week against Middlesex, who are top of the league. We get a good result against them, and look, there's still 8 games left in the season, and we want to finish inside that top 2 and get back into Division One. And we feel like at times we've played good cricket and cricket that should warrant that and should challenge that. It's just about keep going, and like I say, it's a big game down at the home of cricket at Lords against an informed Middlesex side. So we're excited for that, and it'd be a good challenge, but we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, on Sunday, it was a funny one, really, wasn't it? Because like you said, in the other games where you've been in really strong sort of winning positions, but just haven't been like that. I mean, the wickets have flattened right out this year anyway, sort of as the games have gone on, but it was a funny one because even though Durham were in the game at, 60-2 on the evening before Labuschagne gets out, it was like Glamorgan probably favourites at that point. And then
it
just swung back in your favour.
Well, it did.
Due to Matthew Potts, really, unbelievable season that he's having.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost the beauty of four-day cricket, because I think if you looked at the game from after each day, it did just sort of swing up and down. I mean, we got 320 first innings, and then we had a chance to bowl them out with a potential of 100 lead, and then they bat past us and get a 50 run lead, and then we lose 2 wickets on day 2, and it's like with 15 behind with, I think, 15 behind with 2 weeks down. So it's like, right, well, we need to bat well tomorrow, like, to give ourselves a chance. And we batted okay, and we got a lead of, like, 190, which was like, well, it's not ideal, but it's something we can bowl at.
Yeah.
And bowlers were outstanding. And to get 2 wickets plus in the third,
yeah,
last ball a day, which was Labuschagne, which was massive. And I think as soon as that we got that third wicket as last ball of the night, I think momentum just shifted in our way. And I think when both sides were walking out, the Glamorgan lads looked flat and disappointed. Where on the flip side, we were actually excited and a bit of sense of belief. And I think we said that on the night. I said that to the lads. I said, look, that last wicket there, that last ball is giving us something. Like, we've got to believe we can bowl well tomorrow. And when we did, we bowled amazing. And you just mentioned Pottsy there, who has just been absolutely incredible. It's as good as new ball or opening bowling I've seen probably since Graham Onions, back in sort of 2013-14 year, which he was outstanding. But no, Potts has been incredible. And he works so hard. Like, I've not seen a bloke as fit as Pottsy. He's an absolute athlete. And he's destined and determined to get to Test cricket. And look, I don't think that call will be far away.
No.
But look, he deserves it because he works very, very hard. And yeah, I'm over the moon for him. But he has been outstanding. He's got, what, 35 wickets 35. In 6 games, which is just, like I say, it's as good as new ball, opening ball, and I've seen for a long, long time. And he's got pace, he's got skill, and he's got the right attitude.
He must have been bowling late 80s on Sunday morning. And that,
absolutely.
The delivery got the Carlson, where, like, I mean, how's he got it to lift off, off that length? Yeah. You know, that, and you just thought, I was watching it going, you know, when you see a moment going, like, this is the moment for this person where they've to win the, he's won the game.
Yeah.
And like, so he's only 23, you know, and you think, and with Fisher's obviously injured for the season with his back, and obviously he got one with West Indies and didn't take a lot of wickets, but, you know, he was in the squad. Saqib, obviously, Mahmood is injured now. You know, the Overtons are sort of around, but you kind of think, you know, you might be, you know, looking for another opening ball in a couple of weeks' time.
Absolutely. And look, I remember when I first saw him last year in February, when I first come back to the club, and I mean, I watched him train and I watched him ball, and I mean, I don't want to say I could see it, but I did see a future England cricketer there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not called up yet, but I don't think that call will be far away. But honestly, I'd seen him train, and I was thinking, this kid's a future international cricketer. And the way he's bowled this year, and he's got big players out. And like I said, to that ball he got Carlton out with was an absolute jaff. And that's getting any player out in the world, no matter who you are. And he's got the ability to do that. And like I said, he's a fit lad as well. So he bowls his overs. I mean, he's bowled as many overs as anybody in the country this year. And to have 35 wickets at this stage, only 6 games gone, is incredible. And I think he's bypassed a lot of players in county cricket. I know the England captain, Stokes,
exactly. He's watching him from mid-off.
I think he was quite pleased with him as well. So look, we'll see. I think the test squad gets announced back end of the week. And look, if he's not in this one, it's not the end of the world, because he's a young kid. But if he keeps going with the right attitude and the right sort of determination, which he's got, the call won't be far away. I'm sure of that.
Do you think, though, with the change in that, the England setup, it feels very much like Potts is the kind of person they're going to go for, though? Like, you know, with, you know, this freshness and, like, you know, McCullum coming in.
Yeah.
You know, the way Ben Stokes plays cricket, you know, his attitude and, like, sort of kind of things Rob Key said, it kind of feels a little bit like he's timed it perfectly, really.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. And look, Broad and Anderson, they're not going to be around forever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how long they've got left, but, I mean, Jimmy's nearly 40 now, isn't he? He's going to have to come to an end at some stage. So, like, you know, you look at that young bowlers around the country, like you mentioned Fisher, I think, is a really good bowler as well. Mahmoud, who's also
He looked really good in the West Indies, I thought.
Walkes, he's what, early 30s now, so. And Craig Overton has tried and he's done okay. I think Ollie Robinson's a good bowler. I think he'll be in the squad for a while now. Look, there's going to be spots available, and the timing of Potsy's form will do him absolutely no harm. And like I say, to do it in front of the Test captain, and I've been telling Stokesy about him for a while, and now his captain, he's seen him on and he's seen how good he is. But look, we've got another one in Bryden Cast too, who he's had a tough injury.
He went out of Australia, obviously, didn't he?
If he hadn't have done that to his knee, I think he would have been in the West Indies. And look, to have him back as a Durham player and a Durham fan, it's good to have him back because he's also got that X factor. And I also think he's a future England cricketer. I know he's played a couple of one days last year, but
With a bat and ball, so
exactly. And look, the way he goes about his cricket, with his skill level, and he's a proper cricketer. And so we could potentially have two more England bowlers to add to Woody and Stokesy.
Yeah. So finally, on the red ball stuff, as you mentioned, if you're down in London over the weekend, staying for a few days instead of just going there on the back of the day.
Yeah.
You can pop over to Lords and go and watch Durham. I mean, if you've never been to Lords before, and even if you've got a passing interest in the game, get yourself along for a session, because it's like one of those places where the atmosphere is like, it's just there. It hangs in the air. And it's like a special place.
It's the home of cricket. And It's the Wembley of cricket,
yeah,
I guess. And I absolutely love playing there. It is a special place. And I get excited. And I must have played there 10 times now. And I still get a buzz and an excitement when I walk through the gates. If you're a Sunderland fan in London this weekend, get to Lords.
Absolutely. If you get a spare afternoon. If you can, yeah. All you need, spare more than an afternoon.
I mean, hopefully you've all got bad heads on Sunday and an excited bad head and you're happy.
Yeah, yeah. But you get in there for the morning, freshen up, go to the morning session then hop across to Wembley. So the white ball stuff begins on the 27th, is it 27th?
Yeah, I think it's next Thursday we play away to Leicester.
Yeah, and the first home game is on the 1st June, slightly different in this format. Obviously, you're captaining the 50 overs, but different captain for the T20 last year. Obviously, Cameron Bancroft was the sort of overseas captain, but this year it's Ashton Turner's come in. Do you think there's maybe a slight change of dynamic maybe with that? Because he's more of an anchor, sort of Bancroft, isn't he? Whereas Turner's more of a hitter, and obviously we've got like a lot of hitters at the top of the order. I mean, Clark had an amazing sort of white ball summer last year. Yeah. Bedingham obviously caught a lot of eyes across all three formats. But do you think that's going to change the dynamic of the batting at the top of the order?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it was great to have someone like Aston on board because he just won the Big Bash for Perth Scorchers as captain as well. He's played quite a bit of cricket for Australia. That's really exciting, and the way he plays as well. He's on the aggressive side. He likes to take the ball on. So that'd be exciting. We'll probably get together as a T20 squad. I think next Monday or Tuesday, and have a bit of a chat and float some ideas about it. I'm sure T will have his own ideas with how we want to play. But the 2020 season, I guess, is really exciting. I think when you're getting close to it, it is that bit of a buzz. Everybody loves playing it, and obviously the fans as well love it as well. And the atmosphere and some of the grounds and Riverside is brilliant. In getting the fans in, which is the main thing, and it's amazing. And I say us players absolutely love it.
I mean, it was great. It was last year. I had the season ticket. I mean, we got Martin Wigan from Durham on the call as well. So I'll bring him in a bit and he can give you the full spiel about how, if you want to get down to the Riverside to see Durham, he'll tell you how you can do it. But, you know, it was £70 for seven games, essentially, which is an absolute bargain, really, to see. Yeah. You know, and we, you know, saw Lancashire came and, you know, we had Ben Stokes playing for Durham and you had Josh Butler playing and Liam Livingston playing for Lancashire. Obviously, with the IPL on, probably not this time, but, you know, you do see some, you know, real, like, high quality cricketers. And, it's even Nabi was at Northampton, wasn't he, last year? And, you know, you get these sorts of, you know, players who you get to see firsthand.
Absolutely. Now, I think for us players as well, when we either get to play with the big stars or play against the big stars, it is quite exciting, and to watch how they go about it.
Lockie Ferguson was at Lancashire as well, wasn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, but even we played Yorkshire last year, and I think Root and Bairstow.
Bairstow played, yeah.
Who's there overseas?
It was Ferguson for Yorkshire, wasn't it, last year?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, just like that's what T20 does. It brings in the big stars. I mean, I think the IPL might be finished before. So some players might come straight from the IPL to the Blast. So, I mean, that's good. Like, let's say the bigger stars, the better. Or the more stars, the better, I guess. And even when the England players drop down, like we were lucky last year to have Stokesy. We probably won't get him this year. We might get a bit of Woody. It's let's say it's an exciting time of the year.
So Martin Wigan, who's been sitting silently on the call very patiently and kindly while we've been chatting on, if you want to get along to the Riverside and take in some of these games, first games are 1st of June, are the season tickets still available for people to buy for the whole lot?
Yeah, so the season tickets are still available. So as you said, £70 for the season ticket. You can get them by contacting the box office or via the box office email address and the contact number. I'll send something like I'll put like some sort of tweet out on social media just so we can have all the details on there as well. One of the things you mentioned as well with the 1st of June game is we've also got the Northern Diamonds women as well that are playing before the lads go on the pitch. So that's also included in all ticket prices as well. So that's the season tickets and also just your general admission as well.
And it's obviously bank holiday the next day as well, isn't it? The second, so...
Yeah, and it's half term as well, so it's a perfect way to spend your half term, I think.
Yeah, you can take the kids off, not, you know, to fake Friday. Otherwise, you know, get yourself down there, have a few extra beers if you want to. But yeah, I mean, as I say, last year, you know, I had the opportunity to... You know, I had the time and opportunity to go regularly, and it was great. You know, like sort of saying the level of players that are competing, and you can feel that excitement in the games as well.
Yeah, I think as well, if you're not a massive cricket fan, T20 is a perfect way to start.
Yeah,
because it is only 3 hours. Like, you do see a bit of fun, a bit of excitement, a bit of entertainment. See the ball go over the boundary for fours and sixes. See some fast deliveries, things like that. Like, I think as well, like even fielding, like you see a different side of cricketers with the field. Like, see how athletic some cricketers are, and it's a good chance for the cricketer to actually show off in the field and run around and be a bit crazy for 90 minutes. So yeah, like I say, for non-cricketer lovers, T20 is the perfect way to get into it.
Yeah, I would agree, especially with the setting as well. I mean, you know, obviously it's by the river, it's a good atmosphere, and obviously got Lumley Castle as well. So it's a perfect way to spend your summer evening.
Yeah. Absolutely. You can go and you can have a drink in the stand. You don't get treated like a criminal for that, which is great. So, you know, that's an added positive. And it is like, you know, I mean, there's some, you know, pretty looking cricket grounds around the country, but I think, you know, Durham's up there with the best of them. And it's just, you know, sometimes, especially like say Friday night, something like that, you know, just late summer's evening and sitting out in the warm sun, a few drinks, have a, you know, high quality game of cricket going on, you know, there's not a lot better than that, really. So yeah, if you want to get yourself down, so the first game is 1st of June. If you head over to the Durham website, all the information on how to get tickets for T20 Blast is on there.
Yeah, there's also group deals as well. So if there's more than 10 of you in a group, it is cheaper per game as well. So I'll put my details up as well. And then, yeah, so I hope to see as many of you there as I can.
If you're one of these people who've got more than 9 friends.
Yeah, sadly, I'm not one of them, sadly, but you know, some people are.
Yeah. So I think we'll leave it there. So Scott, thanks so much for giving up your time, especially, you know, it's been really busy for you at the moment. You know, you're one of the teams who hasn't had a week off. So it'll be, you know, 7 games on the bounce, 4 days a week for the last two months. So I really appreciate you setting your time aside for half an hour of a chat with us, and best of luck on Saturday and in the Blast going forward.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Cheers. So we'll have got a few more pods coming out the rest of the week. The main preview pod to preview the game, which I think we've been kind of half putting off because it's terrifying. That'll be out in the next few days. And remember, you can go back and listen to all the pods that we've had this week. The music one that the lads did a couple of nights ago was really great. So I'll give that a listen. That's the latest one. But as always, thank you very much for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.